Everyone can tell what it is, but how do you get it? With so many styles of music, with new gear coming out almost daily, what's the secret to great tone? Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show, where we talk about tone, what it is, and how to get it. With your hosts, Jeff Floro and Scott Sill, we will talk to the creators of tone, the manufacturers, and the players, as we explore tone and the gear that gets it. Tonight on the Flow Guitar Enthusiast, we talk to John Five, known for his guitar work and for Rod Zombie and Marilyn Manson. But he's also been a session guitarist and has worked with such artists as Wilson Phillips, Katie Lang, David Lee Roth, and Ricky Martin. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show. Scott is out tonight. He had a baby girl, Vanessa Abigail, and we just want to wish Scott, Angelina, and Vanessa the best. But my guest host tonight is Monique Caravello. Monique, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming in and subbing for us.
Thanks for having me. Congratulations, Scott and Angelina. I saw the picture of the baby. She's adorable.
And I want to thank our we have two sponsors tonight, Sweetwater and also Guitar Hummer. And before I start, I want to play one real spot, and then we're going to get on with our guests. So hang on one second. Here we go. There's a product out called Guitar Hummer that's designed to give you vintage sound without the vintage weight. We all know the more a guitar is played, the better the sound. Guitar Hummer is a guitar stand that simulates play by sending gentle vibrations through your guitar as it sits. Swap your guitar stand for Guitar Hummer, and in just a few weeks, you will notice deeper, richer tone and improved sustain. But don't take our word for it. Try it for 60 days, and if you don't notice a marked difference, return it for a full refund. Go to GuitarHummer.com for more information or to purchase. Okay, we're back, and without further ado, let's get Ron with it. We are very fortunate to have John Five on the show tonight, and you can hear a little bit of background noise. We're getting him on his phone because he's in the middle of rehearsals, and we got him to take a break from his rehearsals to talk with us. He will have to drop out for a minute to take care of some stuff. He'll let us know when, and then we'll call him back and get him back on the line. But he's here with us, and we're just really grateful. John, thank you so much for being on the show.
Hey, how you doing? Glad to be here.
Doing great, and I have to admit, I was all this week, I've been listening to your latest album, God Told Me To, and it pretty much blew me away with the type of things that you were doing and the stretches that you did. I know that you took a departure from just the normal hard rock shredding type of thing, and you explored some other styles that I want to get into a little bit with you. But first, I want to talk a little bit about your guitars. I saw that new Squire that you have out, the J5 Squire series, that gold one is a beautiful guitar. And everybody, it's only $399 list, and it's pretty amazing guitar. Can you tell us a little bit about that guitar? Because you were talking, you have a video on your site that you're talking about, you know, how what you were picking in terms of the neck, the pickups, and you put the toggle switch up on the top. What were you trying to do? What was your purpose in the design of the guitar? What were you trying to achieve that you weren't getting from your other guitars?
Well, with that guitar, originally I had this black Telecaster that I used all the time, and it had, you know, two humbuckers and a toggle switch up there, and you know, all my things that I loved, and we made a Squire from that. Like, it's a black guitar with a chrome pickguard, and, you know, it's the exact replica of what I used on stage all the time and I recorded with. And then I had to retire that one because it was just so, you know, just worn out, you know, like it had to have a fret job, and just, you know, just the pickguard of the chrome was like, I was actually literally wearing the chrome down, so it was like, you know, it was all getting all, you know, worn out. So Fender made me a really a new one. They made me a gold edition. And, you know, I play it all the time, and it's all scratched up. And, you know, it's, you know, because I play all the time. And so Squire made me a gold version of my, you know, favorite guitar. And literally, it is perfect. I mean, the neck, because, you know, I like a small neck, like, you know, the Tellys that were around in, like, 64, 65. And I've always been a fan of Fender Telecaster Custom with the binding. Mm-hmm. And those came out in, like, 59 till about 71, those Telecaster Customs with the binding. And so I wanted to have, you know, the binding on my, you know, my model on the Squire. And, you know, having the toggle switch up there, because I do a lot of toggle switch work, and I don't like it having it down there sometimes, because I do all this crazy picking stuff, and, you know, so they really did an incredible job. When I picked up the guitar, it's actually nicer than my model that I have, because the color is just unbelievable. My color is faded, and, you know, it's been, kind of looks weird, you know, compared to the Squire. The Squire is just a beautiful, beautiful Shoreline gold. It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So I love it.
I want one.
Yeah. One of the things I wanted to ask, you were talking about the neck, and it said, I think it said in the thing that it was a 12-inch radius. What about, did you ever like the B-style necks that Fender made, which I think was a 9-inch radius? It was the really curved one.
Yeah, I have, you know, I have one of the biggest Tele collections in the world, and, you know, so I have just about every neck that's been ever put on a Fender guitar, and, yeah, I really like the, you know, right around the, I'd say 64, 65, 66 mm-hmm. necks, and that's what it was designed after. I have this great Esquire, and I just gave them that Esquire, and I said, just, you know, make the neck, you know, this radius and this feel.
Yeah, I prefer the smaller necks, too. I have a 68. It's kind of a Frankentelly, because it's got a different body. It was in a house fire, but it's got the 68 neck and 68 T-tops for some reason, humbuckers in it. But it's one of my favorite guitars. I was just curious, what drew you to Telecasters primarily?
Well, I guess, you know, at a very early age, everything is, you know, created when you're really young and you really get into something, you know, you see something and it just grabs you and grabs your attention. So that's how it was with me and Telecasters. I used to love watching that show Hee Haw, you know, it was always on, and that we just always crowded around the TV and watch it. They all, and they all played Tellys on there, you know, and I was so, you know, like just taken back by these electric guitars, and I was like, I want to play electric guitar, and I thought the Telecaster was the only shape and the only brand and all that stuff. So
it was divine intervention, right?
Yeah, I just loved it, you know. So I was like, you know, Tele has always been stuck in my head, and I love the history of Fender and all that stuff. It's our first solid body electric guitar, and I'm just such a crazy, crazy Telecaster nut.
Right.
John, Scott's in our chat room, and he wants to know what your favorite year of Telecaster of all of them.
Let's see. My favorite year is, I have a Broadcaster, a 1950 Broadcaster, mm-hmm. and it's just, you know, I love it so much. And it's so clean. It's one of the cleanest in the world. So I would probably definitely say 1950. And, you know, that's what I'm most proud of. That's my favorite year because it was, you know, the first year of the solid body electric guitar and the birth of the Telecaster.
Do you like the thin lines?
Love the thin line. I love the thin line. You know, I love the thin line, and I love the thin line two with the two humbuckers,
right.
You know, and I think I've seen the earliest thin line I've seen was late 67, and then I have a 68 and a 69, both in natural and then a mahogany, you know, so I have plenty thin lines. I love them.
Wow. I just want to mention that there's a whole bunch of John 5 signature series guitars, both Fender and Squire. And our sponsors, Sweetwater Music, they have them. And they're pretty reasonable, so you could get a good deal. I would check them out because there's the regular J5 Telecaster. There's the triple Telecaster Deluxe, the J5 Bigsby Telecaster, which I'm a big Bigsby fan, and and the Squire. And there's another one that came out, and I wanted to ask you about this one too, which has nothing to do with Telecaster. It's the J5 Acoustic. We're going to play some clips in a few minutes of your album. Go ahead.
Yeah, the acoustic, it's rad, you know, because I do a lot of acoustic work, which you can tell on the on my last record. God told me to. I did, you know, half of it's acoustic, and I just thought, you know, I would love to have an acoustic and have a cutaway, this and that, and the other thing, and so you know, we just we're pulling up, and people really enjoy that guitar.
What were you trying, because I just want to mention everybody, on his album, he's using, at that time, this was before the guitar was made, this new guitar was made, he was using a Martin D45, a D28, and a Martin Classical, which we'll talk about in a minute, but with this J5 acoustic, what did you tell him, Fender, what did you want, what did you say, make, I want it to do this, what was that?
I wanted, you know, a nice cutaway so I can reach high up on the neck, and I wanted nice low action and something with a small neck, something I can really burn on and play. And and you know, I love my crazy headstock, and that headstock is from a Fender guitar called the Fender Maverick. That was around in the 60s, and they also did, you know, if you see those Fender 12 strings, they had a similar headstock. And it's cool. You know, people might not like it, but it sure did grab a lot of attention, and that's what I love. I love doing things different because, obviously, I play in these heavy rock bands, and, you know, it's like, you know, playing a Telecaster is not really what a lot of rock guys do, you know, playing in heavy, heavy, heavy music, and they play in a Telecaster. It's like, you know, people think it's like a country guitar, but I always like to do things a little different. And it, you know, it's a great guitar, and I just always like to do things a little different, to turn some heads. It's like wearing a cowboy hat to a Slayer concert. You know, it's a little strange.
Did you tell Fender what you wanted in terms of the woods for the J5 acoustic? What is the back and sides? I presume the top spruce.
Yes, spruce, yes. And they're such experts. They were like, this is what'll sound the best, and I tested out a bunch of things, and they helped out along, and Alex Perez over there at Fender is you know, one of my great friends, and we just worked pretty closely on it. I gotta take this 5-minute break, so if you guys want to call back, I'd say like call back in like 10 minutes. Is that cool?
Okay, I'll give you okay, so we'll call it, yeah, it's about 8:15, so we'll call about 8:25. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a bunch of cuts, and then when you come back, I'll tell you what I played, and then we're going to ask you some questions about, you know, how you did that, how you did the sound. So, okay, what we'll do, thank you. We'll be calling you back shortly. What we're going to do right now is we're going to take a break. We'll go ahead and run the our spots, and then we'll come back, and we'll start playing some clips, and Monique and I will explain what we're talking about. Okay, here we go. I'll play the first one here from our good friends at Sweetwater.
Hi, this is Aaron Raby, your resident guitars and amps geek at Sweetwater Sound, 1-800-222-4700. And today I'm here to talk about John 5. John 5 is a phenomenal guitarist. He actually came to Sweetwater a while ago and performed at a clinic. And unfortunately, when he left, all of the kids' faces were melted. It was like something out of a horror movie. What you may not know about John is, aside from his metal acumen, his solo albums, his contributions to Rob Zombie and Marilyn Manson, he's an incredibly proficient session guitarist as well, having worked with the likes of pop icons like Sean Colvin. He employs a really wide range of techniques, and he's just an incredibly versatile player. His sound is very distinct, with his Telecaster going through a Marshall amplifier, and his DiMarzio deactivator pickups provide plenty of clarity. At Sweetwater, we love to discuss gear, and we can talk about all things metal, all things John 5. Give us a call. I'm Aaron Rady. Thanks again for having me.
Do you want to get the best possible tone from your acoustic instrument? Guitar Hummer is a guitar stand that does more than just rest your guitar. It creates a gentle but continuous vibration that is equivalent to playing your instrument all day, every day. This concentrates years of seasoning into mere weeks, improving tone and sustain. You may not be able to afford a vintage guitar, but you now can achieve vintage sound. But don't take our word for it. Try it for 60 days, and if you don't notice a marked difference, return it for a full refund. Go to GuitarHummer.com for more information or to purchase.
Okay, we are back. Now, what we're going to do is I'm going to play a couple of cuts, and then we're going to... John knows about these, so I'm going to pull some stuff. This is off of his album, God Told Me To. I'm going to play... This was actually one of the singles from the album. He did a cover of Michael Jackson's Beat It. And this part of the song, you'll recognize it. What I want to ask him is about these guitars that are harmonizing behind him, how he got that sound, because his traditional sound is the lead. It has that really bright, Marshall-y sound, but he's getting kind of like what I would consider a Brown sound in the back. So take a listen, and we're going to ask him about this. This is a clip from Beat It. Okay, so you got to listen to that. Here's another clip of his traditional type of radical playing. This is the name of this song is called The Hill of the Seven Jackals. So we're going to go ahead and play this one. Here you go. Okay, now, one of the things about this album is he went in another direction. He was kind of expanding a little bit, and most people know him for that type of playing that you just heard, right, the shredding. But he did some really interesting acoustic stuff, and the album has a lot of acoustic things. But there's some really, really cool things that he's doing, and you can hear his influence. You can even hear his hee-haw influence. And to show that, this is a cut from there called Aslan Bump. And this, if I'm correct, he's using Martins on here. I will ask him to see what specifically he was using on this cut, but it's a killer tone. Here we go. Aslan Bump. Interesting, yeah. Thing. He's using a dobro,
like,
and he has a Fender mandolin,
nice,
on that cut. Beautiful stuff and nice counterpoint to what he was doing. But you get a kind of feel with his tone on his Martin is just killer.
Yeah, that's a gorgeous sounding.
Here's an interesting clip that he did called The Lie You Live, and he does a little muted little melody thing here that's just really tasteful. Again, really tasteful playing here and an interesting mix of guitars. This is another acoustic cut. Here you go, The Lie You Live.
Thank you.
just really tasteful. I love that muted thing. It's kind
very
of a cool,
edgy.
Yeah, kind of an interesting. But you can hear a classical influence. And one of the things that he talked about before, and we're going to ask him about this, is he used a Martin nylon string. And it's an interesting cut. This one is called the Noche Acosador. And it's an interesting sound that he gets here. But again, he's kind of doing a little bit of a flamenco thing. So he's kind of stretching in a bunch of different directions. But remember, he had a background as a session guitarist. So he was doing a lot of different things. He toured with K.D. Lang, which is probably a totally different gig from Rob Zombie or Marilyn Manson.
Right.
And he's pretty versatile, and he's much more diverse than you would normally think of him.
A lot of people don't know that about him, because the first thing they think is Marilyn Manson.
Yes.
When they hear his name.
Yes. So,
and the image that, you know, he's portrayed in.
And even the videos. I mean, even the stuff that he's done with Rob Zombie is pretty, you know, a blown out Marshall sound with his tellies. This is called Noche Acosador, and this is with the nylon string Martin. We're going to ask him about that. I want to try to find out what model that was. He's pretty agile. That's not easy to do. But beautiful stuff. Okay, it's about 10 minutes. We're going to try him right now. We'll see if we can get him back on the air. And we have a bunch of questions now to ask him.
All right.
Hey, John, this is Jeff again from the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show. I just played a whole bunch of clips, so now everybody knows what we're going to ask you now. So we're going to kind of put you on the spot a little bit, but I don't think it'll be kind of interesting. I played the clip Noche Acosador, and I wanted to ask you, do you know the model? It said that you were using a Martin gut string guitar. Do you remember what model it was?
That I don't remember the model of it. I know it's old, and it's something I've used forever. It's one of those old gut strings, and Martin doesn't make a lot of nylon string guitars. You know, they don't make a ton. They're kind of hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I've ever seen one.
But I know. Yeah, it's
they're
weird,
rare. They're really rare. I know a couple of people that have them, but they're really rare.
Are they small body?
They are.
Like flamenco?
Yes, it is a small body, but they are rare. It's hard to find those, but luckily I have one. And then I use the steel string stuff. I use the D45, and it's like a 86 or something, 87 here.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you recorded, did you do this in your home studio, or did you go to a regular studio to do this album?
Well, it's a good question, because I don't, believe it or not, everybody has a home studio. Even people that aren't musicians have home studios. I don't have a home studio, because if I had a home studio, I'd never probably see sunlight or anything. You know, I'd be like some weird guy in this room with, like, you know, that hasn't bathed or eaten or anything like that. But no, I always go out of the house to make my records. And what I do is I'm like a fighter. I write these songs and train, like just go over them and over them. So I have them so down pat that, because I don't want to, you know, I want to go in the studio and just knock them out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll just go over them and over them and over them, and I'm like, okay, here's the day, you know, I'm going to record this song, and then I'll just knock it out. And then, you know, the guys that make my record, I pay them hourly, and, you know, I don't even, it doesn't even take me an hour. So they're like, oh, this sucks.
Yeah,
you know, because they don't even, you know, they think they're going to be in there for like 5-6 hours, but I just knock it out just a couple takes.
Well, like with your acoustic guitars, do you tell them how you want them mic'd, or do you remember how you mic'd them for like Aslan Bump or Creepy Crawler? Because the tone of that is just to die for.
Yeah, it is, you know, I let people that are experts do what they do. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've always learned about this business. I don't know, you know, all the answers to everything about miking or about this or that. So what I've learned is I leave that up to the real pros, because there's a lot of guys that think they know a lot and they're like, oh no, do it here and do it this way and this way and I like it this way, and the producers are like, or the engineers are like, okay, great, whatever. But you know what I've learned is, like, all they do is mic stuff, mic guitars, mic amps, mic drums, mm-hmm. anything, you know. So they are the experts, so I'm just like, all right, just give me the best sound you can give me, and I'm, you know, and it's really worked out really well for me.
Yeah, it's paid off. That tone was beautiful. What was the first track, Jeff, that you played?
The first one I played for him was, well, you mean the heart?
The acoustic stuff.
The acoustic one was Aslan Bump.
Yeah, that was gorgeous. I love the tone on that.
Yeah, it was, well, oh, and also, you. Too, the riffing that you're, the little right. things that you were doing were
now,
really
did
cool.
I read somewhere you had a Giannini?
I'm sorry?
Did I read somewhere on your gear list that you have an old Giannini?
No.
Oh, okay.
No,
I don't think so.
No.
I've been
Maybe
running into those
off,
lately.
But...
It's really weird. I thought I saw that on your gear list.
But Aslan Bump, it's funny, that title, all the titles mean something, too. The title is where I'm from in Grosse Pointe. It's a very, you know, ritzy place, very safe, very sheltered, you know. And if we wanted to go into downtown Detroit, there was a street called Ashland, and you would have to go over this big bump, and once you go over that bump, you know you're in the bad part of town. So that's what Ashland Bump means.
Right.
Now, I played your a quick clip from your cover of Beat It, and the chorus part where the, you know, the background singers sing Beat It, there,
yeah.
You have your lead guitar, and the clip that I had, you were using the wah-wah on that, so it was a real bright sound. But those harmonies in the back, it was like a three-part harmony thing. Were you using a different guitar? Because it had like that, what I consider more of that brown sound. It was a much darker sound. And I was wondering if that was the Tele or were you using another guitar on that?
Well, I love, you know, I have so many Teles and I love to use them. So whenever I double something or if I do harmonies or rhythm parts, or anything like that, I try to use as many different guitars as possible because it's like, you know, visiting old friends or something like that. So mm-hmm. I love playing different guitars and stuff like that. So, oh, this one sounds really good. Oh, let's use this one. Or this one sounds rad. So it's really fun to do that. So, yeah, they're all different guitars.
Oh, okay. Because it mentions on your website that you also, in your current gear, I mean, you use mostly the Telecasters, but you had you use a Les Paul. Which song do you use the Les Paul on?
Oh boy, I don't even remember. But yeah, sometimes I'll knock out the Les Paul for some heavy rhythms or something like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, Les Pauls are a little, you know, they're incredible guitars, incredible. But they're a little uncomfortable to me. They're like a, you know, they're like a tight pair of shoes, you know. And they're like, you know, because I'm so used to the Teles, you know, but they sound incredible, so I like to use them for recording and things like that because they do have such a unique, incredible sound to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel. The Teles that I play are kind of workhorses versus my Les Paul, which is more of like, I always say I'm taking out the Holy Grail.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. And a lot of Les Paul players are like, how can you even play a Tele? It's like, and they say the Tele is one of the most complicated guitars to really play because it's just a plank of wood, you know. It's like, because it's the same design.
I think they're very friendly. I think they're really, really, I mean, like,
well,
I said, they're a workhorse. They're very functional.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, though, because, like, I remember everybody was into Les Pauls because of Jimmy Page. But
of
on
course.
His early albums, all of his lead work was a Telecaster.
Yeah.
Which
that's
I think,
right.
I think
yeah.
is really kind of cool.
That old Yardbirds Telecaster, I want it.
Yeah, he did that. Now, let me ask you, I have somebody in the chat room wanted to know, do you mod your JVM, your amps? I think you're using JCM 900s or whatever.
That is correct.
Now, are they modded or are they stock?
They're stock. Everything is stock. Yeah, everything's stock. But I do mod the outside, the Tolex. They have Marshall. Whenever I go to Europe, I always get a different color head. So, you know, I have, and this started, you know, a little, only a few years ago. So I have a red one. I have a white one. I have a bright blue, a yellow, and I'm getting a fawn. And they're all different colored Marshalls. And it looks rad. Maybe you can find it, like, if you're on search or on the web or something like that. But you can maybe see a picture of, like, these different colored heads.
Yeah, you have a video for Marshall that shows them. Oh, but I just want to mention, if you have an extra Marshall head, you have to talk to Monique because she makes purple Tolex, Marshall.
No, I actually do all the different colors of Tolex. I'm the Tolex queen. I will turn.
Really?
Yes, I am, and I turn everything that comes into my possession purple because I'm the purple person. So
I don't have a purple.
Well, then bring it on.
If you have a regular, you know, because I know you are the ones who are custom colors, but if you have a black Marshall head, give it to her and she'll make it purple.
I will.
Oh, that's rad! I will. Thank you very much.
I don't know if you remember. I did meet you at Slash's after party when he got his star on the Walk of Fame. We met, very briefly, but anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in there. But, yeah, I do Tolex. I love it. It's actually very fun.
That's awesome. Well, I have to get this done. I leave for tour in a couple days, but I might just
drop off. It won't happen in a couple days, I'll tell you that.
No, after the show, we'll get you her number so you can talk to her about that.
That's rad. Great. Thank you.
No problem. But, those are stock. Now, I want to go back to the guitars real quick for a minute. Talking about amps, being a Tele guy, and you're also, Norman Harris, who had originally referred us to you and got us in contact with you, he had mentioned, you know, that you're just a great chicken picker. Now, in the studio, I know that you have an endorsement with Marshall, and that is your defined sound, but have you ever used Fender amps, and do you have Fender amps?
Oh yes, I have a lot of Fender amps. I have the the Harvard, but like the 50s, you know, the Harvard. Mm-hmm. I have the the Champ, and I have, you know, all that stuff. You know, all those really cool twin, and you know, I have a bunch of Fender amps because they get, you know, they have incredible amps. You know, mm-hmm. So sometimes I'll use that in the studio. I'm working on a new record. And I do a couple Jerry Reed covers, and I'm using Fender Twin on that, and they're great, great sounding amps.
Yeah, well, it seemed to me with the Tele, if you want that type of, especially you were talking in some of the interviews I read, we were talking about it in your demo of the Squire, that clean, chimey type of sound that you used to. And you were telling why you had those specific pickups on there and stuff. And it's like, you know, this guy has to be using a Fender at some point on some of those albums because that's how you get that sound.
Right. Well, honestly, on that Squire, that gold Squire you have, are you the one that they built for you, is it the same as what somebody would buy if they ordered the same thing? Or did you have everything modified and upgraded on that one?
No, it's the same thing that you just buy and take off the shelf. You know, it's the same thing. And you know why I do that? That's from me being a little kid too. I never wanted to be in a position where if I used a special pick or I used a certain kind of rig, and if I went into a studio or a jam session, I'd be like, well, I can't really jam with you because I don't have my cool pick or I don't have my cool rig. I always wanted to be that guy where I could just play anything, you know. Just give me a chord and an amp, and I'll just, you know, play.
Well,
you know,
I know
it's kind of a weird thing.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason I ask that is because the Squire, you know, they tend to be the lower end, you know, models on,
sure,
on the Fender.
Yeah, but some of them are.
I know. I have a Strat that I love. It's a knockaround Strat. It's the closest thing I have to a Lake Placid Blue like Jimmy. But
yeah, and then
the Squire. I might take the Squire thing off. And
at the NAMM show, I met one of the guys that works on the Squire guitars. I forget his name, but he had a fretless jazz bass that was a Squire, And that thing played better than some of the jazzes.
Yeah, you know what? I've seen a couple of lines of basses come out recently from Fender that were Squires that were really, really nice. All in the $400 range, which is cool, you know?
Yeah, well, I'll, you know, I'll once I deliver the amp, maybe I'll, you know, bring you down a gold Squire and, you know, and have you check it out and stuff like that.
Yeah, match my gold top.
There you go.
Yeah.
Now, do you also used in your earlier bands, you used your a bunch of Ibanez guitars and stuff. Do you still use those, or are you primarily using the Tellys and the occasional Les Paul?
No, I don't use that. And I when I was with Ibanez, you know, which are great too. You know, people love Ibanez, you know. But I always played Fender. I always recorded with them and stuff like that. I just played them live because, you know, I couldn't get a Fender deal, and it's a God honest truth, and I don't think I've ever said that before, but I've always recorded with the Fenders, and I always played them at home, but when I played live, I played the Ibanez. But then I was at the NAMM show, and there was no pictures of me, and this is when I was, you know, getting a little known and stuff, blah, blah, blah. And but when I was at the NAMM show, there was no pictures of me at Ibanez, and I walked over to Fender, and they had this huge picture of me, and that's when they said, oh, we'd love to have you here, and, you know, and I was like, oh, my God, it's so weird how things happen, you know, because they see me playing Tellys all the time. You know, this was 1,000 years ago, but it was, you know, I was so fortunate, and it's one of the happiest days of my life when they asked me to be a part of the company.
Oh, that's cool.
That's huge with Fender.
Now, when you do in the studio, do you use any other Fenders like Strats, or have you?
Yeah,
and you collect those
too.
Yeah,
I have Strats and Jazzmasters and Jaguars, and you know, even Lead Twos, and you know, I have a little bit of everything that Fender's always made. You know, so you know, it's awesome. That's cool. well, it's funny because now what I'm doing, you guys must be like, what's the matter with this guy? I'm walking into the Slayer show. It's a Palladium.
Well, that's cool.
So just so you know what is going on if you start hearing screaming and yelling and
blood-curdling,
you know, noise.
Mm-hmm. The what I wanted to, what I wanted to ask you was the you've played with a lot of diverse people. I mean, most people know you for your shredding, but, you know, doing gigs like with Katie Lang and Ricky Martin, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Wilson Phillips, I mean, that's a pretty diverse thing. How do you approach yourself as a session guitarist? I mean, do you use the same mindset as you go into any session, like even with Rob Zombie or Marilyn Manson, or... You know, how did you, that must have been kind of an interesting gig playing all those different styles.
You know, when I was a kid, all I wanted to do was be a session guy. I didn't even like dream of, you know, it's kind of hard for me to say being like a rock star or something like that. You know, I just wanted to be a session guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I did was learned every style I could. And studied, even like, you know, like 80s music or anything like that. Just like, oh, what sounds do they use for like 80s music or late 70s or funk or anything? I just studied everything because I wasn't great in school, but, you know, because when they would like have tests, I would not know some of the answers. I never wanted to feel like that in music. I always wanted to be like, all right, if someone said, all right, well, play us like, you know, like a flamenco or something like that piece. I always wanted to be prepared to go, oh, okay, you know, I'll be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, no.
So, and that's why I studied so much, you know.
Well, I think you hear it on the new album. The album that you're working on now, is it going to be another, are you going to push out in other directions? Is it going to be more diverse, or is it, which direction do you want to take on this next one?
Well, this album is crazy. You know, everyone always says that about their new records, but what's crazy about it is I'm doing, you know, like some Jerry Reed stuff, so Western Swing and a lot of finger picking that way, but really crazy
shred and two, but I have Matt Bissonette, who is, people know Matt Bissonette, the bass player. He plays with Elton John right now, but he's played with everybody under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going crazy on the bass, like me playing guitar, crazy guitar. So it's so over the top. And then I have this great drummer. His name is Roger Carter. And it's just like so ridiculous almost, but it totally works. It's I can't wait for people to hear it because it's different. You know, it's different. Every album, I always wanted to give, you know, people a little something different, and I'm really excited about it. The name of the album, I've never said the name of the album to anybody, but it's called, I hope we're going to use this, but I'm not really sure, but I'm going to call it Careful With That Axe.
Oh, cool.
Pretty cool title.
Careful With That Axe. Do we know when it's going to be coming out? Do you have an idea?
I don't, because I'm so busy, and I'm just, I don't want to rush it. I just want it to take its time, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Mm-hmm. Well, we're looking forward to hearing that. That should be, and let us know. We'll post it on our site, let everybody know about it, too. I got a question in the chat room. They were asking about the pedals we were using, and I wanted to add an addendum to that. When you, on those sounds like you got on Beat It and some of the other the Hill of the Seven Jackals, I played a cut from that, and the cut I'm going to play at the end, California.
Mm-hmm.
Are you using a blown-out Marshall sound, or are you using a distortion device into the Marshall? And live, is it primarily you just pull them all the way up, or how do you approach distortion pedals, or do you use them really that much live?
I pay my guitar tech so much, but if you saw my rig, you'd be like, is this really happening? Because all I use is a wah, and I use that just on Thunderkiss,
mm-hmm.
and I use on a couple other White Zombie songs. And then I have a distortion, a super Boss Super Overdrive. I use all Boss pedals.
Mm-hmm.
And then I use this Boss Chorus, and then I use a noise suppressor, and that's it. So even if, like, you know, I had, like, nothing at all, I think I'd be okay. If I just went right into an amp, I could do the show. But with recording, you know, I use a lot of old electroharmonic stuff or something like that, you know, just
mm-hmm.
to get some crazy, crazy sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I get that. I totally understand that. I have a big pedal board, and I only use the bottom row. I disconnected everything on top because I pretty much use what you just said. Just the chorus,
yeah.
A little bit of overdrive.
Well, when it comes down to it, the basics, there's just the basics that you need. You know, that's it.
If you're a good player, you can get away with that.
That's true. Now,
yeah, and I used that big refrigerator full of pedals and all that stuff, and it was so much trouble. So I just kind of just cut it down to, like, nothing. Like I was saying before, I just, you know, never want to be in a position where I'm like, oh, I can't play because I don't have my pedal board, you know.
Do you use your guitar kind of like an EQ, or are you backing down for a cleaner sound and cranking it up? I mean, I find myself doing that with my Les Paul a lot, where I'm controlling a lot from my guitar rather than with my feet sometimes, depending.
Yeah, yes, that's exactly right. And, you know, I have this channel switcher that my tech hit for a clean sound and stuff like that.
Right.
So it's great.
Linda Ann in the chat room wants to know, how old were you when you started to play guitar?
I started playing when I was 7 years old, and I started taking lessons at 7. And my hand is actually bigger. My left hand is actually bigger than my right hand because I stretch my hand so much because I was growing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it looks a little deformed. If I was in the studio with you, I'd show them both. But it's actually a really weird thing. It's such a strange thing because I guess if you it's going to stretch and it looks really weird. It's the actual, not the fingers, but it's the palm of my hand.
Yeah. No, when I was young, besides playing guitar, I played keyboards, and my hands are, I have a good, you know, I can hit an octave and a third on a keyboard on a piano, which is, you develop that by stretching.
Right. Well, I started playing when I was 8, and my left hand is significantly tougher. You can feel it in the palm area, and even not playing for a couple of years, I didn't lose any of the muscle in that left hand compared to the right hand. It's really weird the way you develop that.
Yeah,
That's cool. When he comes over to drop off the amp and the guitar, you have to take a picture of his
compare
hands.
Palms.
Yeah, compare palms.
Now, I really want to drop off the amp before I go on tour. So, you know, you know, I'm really excited about this. This will be great.
You want to go purple,
Purple?
I think I can help
It looks
you.
Really cool. Anyway, one other question I wanted to ask you. We're almost at the end of the show. But what was the most bizarre session you ever did as a session guitar player? I mean, the most out there or that sticks in your mind as the most unusual.
You know, I don't know because I've always been very prepared. But I'll tell you a story, a terrible story. It was very crazy, but I was doing something for Wilson Phillips and Carney was coming into the studio and my guitar cases were by the door because I was all finished. And you know when it's really sunny out and then you walk into a room and it's really dark and your eyes have to adjust. She tripped over my guitars and went boom and went right down. And I was like, oh my God, this did not just happen. And she fell down hard. So
ouch.
it was awful.
Oh, yeah, I know that feeling when you're blinded when you go into a dark room, you know, from the sunlight. Oh, were you? I know that she survived that, but the question is, did any of your guitars get ruined? Or are they okay?
Hold on, sorry.
No, it was.
Okay. Okay. All right. Hold on, I'm so sorry.
That's okay. It's live radio, people, and we
sorry
literally have them outside.
Yeah, sorry. Did you ever try walking into a concert doing an interview? It's not easy.
Yes. No, but were your guitars okay?
I'm sorry.
After she tripped over your guitars, were they damaged? Or are you okay? Were they okay?
They were fine. They were fine. It was more, and luckily she was laughing about it. So it was okay.
Cool.
I have a quick one before we leave. I heard not too long ago you had some tellies that were ripped off. Did you ever recover any of those?
Oh, see, now I have to go home and cry.
No. I wanted to ask the question because I know when Tom Petty had the same thing happen, he used social media. Everyone was blasting that out, and I think he had recovered some or all within about 5 days. And I wondered if there was any taking advantage of social media and trying to spread that word and if you recovered any.
Well, that is a fine question. And what happened was I placed this, the guitars on, you know, the social media all over the place, and some guy saw these guitars on Craigslist, and bought them, and once he got a hold of them, he said, "These are John Five's guitars. I know these guitars." And I want to buy these guitars, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, I got the guitars, and the guy, changed his number and all that stuff. So I did get two guitars back.
How many were taken?
And six.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ouch.
I know. So, but luckily all my really super, super, super expensive ones are all in storage and things like that.
Hey, Peter Frampton got his Les Paul back after, what, 32 years?
Yeah.
35 years?
Finally.
So you never know. You don't want to wait that long, but, you know.
There is hope.
There's always hope. My Les Paul was stolen and recovered, so.
I had a drum set stolen, and I'm hoping they'll come back.
Yeah.
But,
That's crazy. Yeah, it's funny because the detective called me today. It's so weird you guys are bringing that up. The detective called me today and I was like, oh my God, cool. What do you have? You know, and the guy was like, oh, the guy just, you know, because he wanted his guitar cases back, the guy that bought the guitar because he used his own guitar case. So I was like, oh man, I thought you had something good for me.
Well, hey, two is better than none for now.
For now, but hopefully
just,
you'll get them back.
Keep the alerts out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just got to keep the word out and let everybody keep their eyes open because there's a lot of musicians out there and they look.
Yeah.
Okay, we're at the end of the show. I just want to thank you again, John, and I want you to stay on till after the show's off the air, and we'll get you in touch with Monique about the amp, and we're looking forward to seeing that purple amp.
Right.
Great.
I just want to mention everybody, John's website is www.john-5.com. You can follow him on Facebook at John5, and his Twitter is at John5Guitarist. Check out his album, this last album, God told me to. I think that I'm spacing. I'm sorry. I have like five different notes in here. But anyway, that album is it's incredible. It's pretty diverse. You're going to love both the acoustic and electric stuff. There's some really nice stuff on it. I recommend everybody to take a listen to it. And thank you again. Let us know when your new album comes out. We'll let everybody know on our end. And if you have pictures or anything on those four that guitars are missing, let us know. We'll post it on our site and get it through our musicians that we know, so hopefully we can find them.
Great.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, so hang on the air, and next week we'll have the bassist for both Anthrax and Megadeth. Scott will be back, and we will find out his adventures of being a daddy. So hopefully that should be pretty interesting. Anyway, everybody, have a great night. And I'm going to leave you with this cut from California. Great guitar stuff. And hope you guys enjoy it. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you.